B'choros Perikei Mishnah Beis 5:2. We now are coming to consider the question of the nature of the gift of the B'chorah to the Kohen. There are 24 different gifts that are given to the Kohen in the Torah, and some of them are restricted to the Kohen and his family only, like think Truma, only the Kohen and his family can eat it. And others are just an economic benefit the Kohen gets, but he can, you know, monetize it or make use of it as he wishes. So if you give him Reisha Sagez, the first of your shearings, he can make into a blanket and sell it to his friends, even sell it to a non-Jew. It's just that he gets the economic benefit of it. The question is, a Bechor Balmum, is that only for the Kohen and his family to eat? Or once it became a Balmum as opposed to a Korban, so can now he invite his non-Kohen friends, maybe even his Gentile friends, to participate in eating this Balmum animal? So, it's a machlokas we see here, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, based on Psukim. Beis Shammai Omrim, Lo Yimana Yisrael Im HaKohen Ala Bechor. Beis Shammai say, even if you're eating the Bechor as a Balmum, and you slaughter it with permission, not as a Korban, only the Kohen and his family can eat it. And Beis Hillel Matirin, Beis Hillel say, no, in such a scenario, you are allowed to have anybody eat it, Afilu Nachri, not just a non-Kohen, even a non-Jew. Now, the base of the machlokas really is the question of how to understand drashas and psukim and hekesh and psukim. In Bamidbar, in Parshas Korach, when it discusses Bechoros, so the pasuk that says, "Uvsaram yelach kechazeh hatnufa uchashok hayamin lachayeh." It equates or compares the meat of the bechor to the chazeh and shok, the breast and thigh of a shlamim. So the breast and thigh of a shlamim goes to Kohanim, and only the Kohanim can eat it in their families. They can't give it to other people, non-Kohanim. So Beis Shammai say the same thing applies here, that pasuk is telling you not just when you shech the b'chor as a korban, but even if you eat it as a balmum, it's restricted, like the chazen shok, to only the Kohen and his family. The Beis Hillel, however, disagrees. Beis Hillel says, no, there's a different pasuk. The pasuk that's in Devarim, that talks, again, also we're talking about the Bechor, and there it says, "B'sha'arecha tochlenu." You can eat this Bechor, you can eat it in your gates, meaning it's not restricted to eat wherever you're going to eat it. Ketzvi v'chayal, like the gazelle and the deer. Now, gazelle and deer never can be Bechor, they're not restricted, and certainly if a Kohen has a gazelle or a deer, he can feed it to his non-Kohen friends and even non-Jews. So Beis Hillel say, so too, the Bechor, once you're eating as a Balmum, eat it wherever you need it, not just in Yerushalayim. And it's restricted just like a deer or a gazelle would be restricted, meaning not restricted at all, and no problem feeding it to non-Kohanim. As far as the Hekesh, says Beis Hillel, about the Chaz of Ashok, the chest and the thigh, so that is telling you that the time frame for eating it, and as Rashi brings the Chumash there, and the fact that it says Yeah twice tells you you have 2 days and a night, the same way you have when you eat a shlamim, chazan shok, as opposed to just like, you know, one day and the following night. Okay, that's the first part of the Mishnah. The lach, of course, is like Beis Hillel, that once it's a balmum, even a non-kohen can eat it, and bezman hazeh, in theory, if a person has a bechor and it gets a mum, kavua, he could eat it, him and his family, even as a non-kohen. Okay, the second part of the Mishnah was like a new point, and in the Bavli, it's a new Mishnah. The question is like this. The Torah prohibits a person to inflict a wound, mum, a blemish, on his bechor. We'll see more about that in the coming Mishnayos. But the question is, what happens if you have to inflict some kind of wound to save the animal? Are you allowed to do that or not? So the case for Mishnah is where you have a bechor, the bechor is not well, the owner of the bechor, the Kohen, brings it to the vet. The vet says, what you need to do here is do a bloodletting. There's too much blood in this animal. Okay, that's, they believed in the time of the Mishnah that bloodletting was very helpful in some scenarios. So the point is, listen, if you're going to let blood, you're going to have to essentially make an incision in the bechor, and that potentially could cause a permanent blemish. So are you allowed to do that? So says the Mishnah, by the way, we have three opinions, of course. The first opinion is, bechor she'ach zodam, if you have a firstborn bechor and it has too much blood that needs to be let, therefore, says the vet, afilu hu meis, even if the animal is going to die, ein makizin lo dam, you still may not do a bloodletting. Div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, listen, although it's true that it depends where you make the incision, if you make the incision like on the back of the animal, it'll heal. and will become once again a tum. But if you do it in the ear or in the lip, then it's not going to heal and it won't become a tum. It'll become a bal mum kavua. So Rabbi Yehuda says, listen, people who stand to lose a lot of money, like someone whose bechor is dying, that kohen's going to panic. And therefore, once he's panicking and he's frantic to try to save the animal's life, he might make an incision where it's forbidden. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, no incisions whatsoever, even if it means dying. So can't help it. The Chachamim, the Chachamim disagree, and they say, Omrim, Yakiz, you may do a bloodletting. Ublavad shlo yasa bomum. Just be careful that when you do the bloodletting, you don't make a mum kavua, a permanent blemish. So cut in a place that will heal. Vim asa bomum. And if you do make a blemish that doesn't heal, hareze lo yishchat alav. So now, just because your animal has a blemish doesn't mean you can eat it, since you inflicted that wound. So now you can't eat the animal based on that wound. You'll have to wait for a new wound to develop. Okay? But the bottom line is the Chum say sort of the exact converse of what Rabbi Yehuda said. They say, listen, a person is going to panic if he's going to lose his valuable animal. And therefore, if you don't tell him what he can and can't do, he'll just break the Torah. It says you can't make a wound here, but he'll just panic and let him make a wound anyways. And if you don't tell him you have to make a wound in a place that will heal, he might just make the wound anywhere. He doesn't care anymore, no difference. And therefore, he'll make a wound in the ear or in the eye or in the lip, which makes a permanent blemish. Therefore, the Chum say you can do it, but do it in the right place. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yakiz Afal Pishu Osa Vamum. Rabbi Shimon has a different approach. Rabbi Shimon's approach, which is his approach throughout Kol Torah Kula, is that Davar She'enu Miskaven is Mutter. If you do an act, and your act is you're intending to do something permitted, but something else forbidden might result from it, it's permitted, says Rabbi Shimon. So your classic, comes up in Hilchos Shabbos, for example, but it comes up in Kol Torah Kula. Classic example, you need to bring an extra chair to Sheva Brachas. To drag the chair, you have to bring it through the backyard, and it's going to potentially make like a ditch, like a charitz, a furrow to plant seed, like which you can plant seeds. You can't make furrows in your garden, so you're allowed to drag the chair. The answer is, says Rabbi Shimon, yes, you can, because your intention is to bring a chair, not to make a furrow. And you can't disconnect a person's intentions from the relevance and significance of his actions, says Rabbi Shimon. Therefore, Shimon says, don't worry about it. Make an incision. If it happens to make a mum, so what? That wasn't your intention. And you could even then now eat the animal because that wasn't what you were planning on doing, assuming that wasn't what you were planning on doing. Rabbi Shimon, in general, does say, however, that if it's what's called a psik resha, if it's certainly going to cause, in this case, a permanent blemish, it would not be allowed. But he's talking about a case where it may or may not. So he says, go right ahead, and it may or may not. But if it does, so what? In fact, more than that, so what? You can even eat the animal now because it's blemished. That's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Now, the halacha, it's actually a machlokas Rishonim and the poskim all the way down, exactly if Davar She'enu Miskaven is mutter or not. The Rambam essentially postulates like the Rabbi Shimon over here. The Tosa Rosh, the Rosh, Poskins, and the Taz brings essentially like the Chachamim. Okay, so the halacha l'maaseh is a little complicated and sort of above my pay grade to talk about Davar She'enu Miskaven. But in any case, that is this Mishnah.